Well, today we are kind of a add-on from last week's message. Today we want to talk about how we can continue this idea of evangelizing people. And in this, we're going to talk about how we can invite people to church, bring people to church. I think it's safe to say that probably most of us, a majority of us, are here today because of somebody else. You know, whether it was our parents, like my parents, who they didn't really drag me to church. They more or less pushed me or pulled me, maybe, and carried me to church. Maybe you were invited by someone in your life. But for most of us, we grew up in the church because of somebody. And the fact of the matter is, people bring people to Jesus. Let me say that again. People bring people to Jesus. Church can have incredible programs. We can have a wonderful facility, great ministries. And these are all great things, but they're not going to bring people to Jesus, because people bring people to Jesus. This is the core, I think, of who we are as a church. It is the foundation for our identity as the people of God. I want to read some scripture this morning from 2 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm just going to look at a few pieces of scripture this morning. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's one of those pieces of scripture that always kind of scared me because it meant that I had to change. Something within me from the inside out had to change because I was new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Now, this is the part I want you to understand. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Our scripture this morning tells us we are Christ's ambassadors. So what does that mean? Well, an ambassador is someone who represents the interest of their homeland in a foreign country. So spiritually speaking, we are to represent Jesus Christ and his kingdom here on earth to advance his purposes. Well, what is his purposes? Well, the scripture tells us a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, like Jesus, we are to reconnect people to Jesus who are far from him. God is calling everyone, you and I alike, back to him. And he expects us to deliver the invitation. And you just thought you were a stay-at-home mom or maybe someone just working a 9-to-5 job. We have all been called and empowered to announce to the world the good news that Jesus is Lord and invite people back into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that is a reason to get up in the morning. Not just Sunday morning, but every day. This is who we are. This is what we are about. Jesus called us a city on a hill, a light for the world. We exist. We are here today to bring those who are far from God back to Jesus. I've heard it said once that the church is the only organization whose sole purpose of existence is not for its members. You see, basically, we are here today for those who are not yet here. Those who are on the outside. But it seems to me, in looking at our society today and looking at the world today, it seems that the church is having, well, a bit of an identity crisis. There was a study by Lifeway Research that showed that only 2% of people who regularly attend church actually invite someone outside of the church to come and check it out in a given year. 2%. Well, what does that say? Well, it says that 98% of churchgoers do not extend a single invitation to church all year. 98%. 7 out of 10 unchurched people have never been invited to church in their life. But here is a sad thing. 82% of the people outside the church are at least, somewhat likely to attend if somebody actually invited them. That's sad. It seems like we have a tendency to hide our light under a bowl, and the city on the hill is not shining as brightly as it could be. Now, I'm not saying that that's us. I'm just saying that's the way the world kind of has become. I think we're living in a time where we're more fearful of people. We're fearful of what they might say. We're fearful of even approaching them. No one trusts anybody anymore. No one wants to take the chance to be Christ's ambassador. Well, today we're going to talk about one of Jesus' disciples, one that we don't really hear much of. Matter of fact, he only appears a few times in the gospel. But every time he appears, he's bringing somebody to Jesus. And his name was Andrew. The first time he encountered Jesus, what does he do? He immediately goes and gets his brother Simon, who we know would later become Peter, and he brings him to Jesus. Andrew is the one who finds the little boy who had the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 little fishes that went on to serve over 5,000 people. Andrew also brings a group of spiritually curious Greeks to meet Jesus during the Passover in John chapter 12. So what can we learn about Andrew that will help us today to be Christ's ambassador? To help us today to be willing to go out and bring people to Jesus. Well, here we go. Number one, we need to remember to maintain a sense of awe and wonder about Jesus. In John chapter 6, the disciples and Jesus were surrounded by 5,000, it says, people. Now, let me put this in perspective, because in those days, they didn't count women and children, right? So 5,000 people, probably there was more like 15,000 people. They were there most likely on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover feast. They'd come from all over to see and hear Jesus. It was dinner time. And the disciples were starting to argue amongst themselves. They couldn't imagine how they were going to feed all these people. And so naturally, they were thinking of themselves and not the bigger picture. And so they started telling Jesus that he needs to send them away. They need to go into town and get food for themselves, take care of themselves. They were not concerned really about the people. They were really concerned about themselves, except Andrew. They thought the best thing to do was send them away. But Andrew looked around and he saw and found a young boy who was willing to give up his 5 loaves of bread and his 2 pieces of fish, and he brought them to Jesus. Now, can you imagine the mumbling and the grumbling that was going on by the disciples? I mean, what kind of person thinks that Jesus is going to be able to feed maybe 15,000 hungry people with just this little amount of food? Well, the answer is the kind of person who has lost his awe and wonder about what Jesus can do. I believe that awe and wonder is what motivated Andrew to bring people to Jesus. The fact is, when we get excited about something, we cannot help but share what we are passionate about. And we naturally want to talk about what captivates us. It's interesting whenever I'm with my brother-in-law because, my sisters think I talk a lot, but boy, he uses a lot of air. Because all you have to do is say one thing to my brother-in-law and he'll go off and tell you something that happened. You know, and I'm like, wow. When we were in Seaside, my sisters and Jen were going for a walk, and my brother-in-law were sitting at the couch and talking, and I was saying something to him, and they left, and when I got done saying my little thing, he started telling me about this, all this stuff. And it went on, and it went on and on. And as they were coming back into the building, I was responding to what he had just said. And my sister Karen goes, "You're still talking, Rob?" We cannot help but share what captivates us. There is distance between our hearts and our mouths, but Jesus said that this. He said, out of the overflow of our heart, the mouth speaks. And I think that when it comes to reluctance to bring people to Jesus and share the good news, well, it could have something to do with the fact that we're more concerned about what is laid on our hearts. And as a result, we have lost a sense of awe and wonder about Jesus and what he can do. You see, those disciples, they didn't sense it. They didn't believe that Jesus could do anything with these five loaves of bread and these two fish. But Andrew knew. Andrew knew. There's a sense that we have lost that sense of awe and wonder. And the scary thing is just how easy it can happen. Many of us in this room have known Jesus for a long time. And the more familiar we are with something, we tend to feel less appreciative of it. We sometimes take it for granted. And one of the reasons, again, that we are so reluctant to bring people to Jesus and to share the good news is because we have forgotten just how good the good news is. We have let go of our first love. And we've lost that sense of awe and wonder. But not Andrew. I think for Andrew, his wonder and devotion to Jesus had a lot to do with how Jesus called him to be a disciple. I've always thought it was interesting, well, all the disciples really, but it was interesting how Andrew and Simon were so quick to drop their nets and leave everything to follow Jesus. It seemed a little fishy, pun intended, as to why these men were so easily persuaded. Some of it had to do with the fact that this was not the first encounter these men had with Jesus, if you go back to John chapter 1. But I think it also had something to do with the culture of the time. In first century Israel, everyone wanted to be a rabbi. The rabbis were the rock stars of the age. Kids didn't want to grow up to be athletes or millionaires or businessmen. They wanted to grow up to be rabbis. It started off at a very early age. Around 6 years old, you began your training. There were three stages of schooling along the way, and at each stage, you were evaluated. And if at some point it was determined that you didn't have what it took to be a rabbi, well, your training ended, and you were sent home to learn your family trade. If you did have the right stuff, then you would be connected up with a rabbi and you would spend the next several years learning from this rabbi, following him, trying to live as he lived, to be just like him. So when Jesus called Andrew to come follow him, what was Andrew doing? He was fishing. He had taken up the family trade, which meant what? Which meant he didn't have what it took to be a rabbi. that was only, there was only dashed and broken dreams left. So when Jesus called Andrew, you can understand why he was so quick to drop everything and follow. I don't think Andrew ever forgot that day when he was sent home. But even in that, Andrew maintained a sense of awe and wonder of what Jesus could do, and it started with what he did to change his life. Never lose sight of the awe and wonder of Jesus. Number two, we need to remember we are chosen people of God. I don't know about you, I had this experience growing up. Whenever we played sports, you know, we used to have two captains, we choose two captains, and then we get in the line and they choose sides, right? How many times were you the last one chosen? Nah, I guess I'm the only one. It was embarrassing. It was painful. And by the time Andrew had reached this stage in his life, he was one who wasn't chosen. And I think one of the reasons we lose our passion for the gospel is because we forget that Jesus picked us when no one else did. We forget how Jesus had rescued us. But not only did he rescue us, but he made us new. The most passionate followers of Jesus tend to live within close proximity to the grace of God they have received. And as a result, their passion and wonder for Jesus is not necessarily dependent upon what Jesus has done for them lately. You see, our passion comes out of the continuous gratitude for what Jesus has already done. I remember Oswald Chambers, who once said, "If God did not ever do another nice thing for you, what he has already done for us in Christ is infinitely more than we deserve." And I thought about that this week as I was struggling with some things. And I said, you know, Lord, I should have got death, but I got life. And if we're ever going to recapture that sense of special calling, we need to reconnect with our call and the grace that we have received. We need to claim our identity as the light of the world, then be in the habit of reminding ourselves just how good the good news is. Jesus picked us when no one else would. We have been rescued. We have been made new by the grace of God. We need to share that. People need to hear it and experience it for their lives. Number three, our deepest longings and desires are fulfilled in Christ. Like I said, every Jewish boy dreamed of being a rabbi. I can imagine that this was especially true for Andrew, seeing how quickly he left everything for Jesus. But that dream was long lost as he returned to his family business and went about the drudgery of the working day in and day out just to survive. But along came this rabbi, who everyone was talking about, who was doing and saying things that no one else had ever seen before. And he singles out Andrew. He calls Andrew and says, "You are going to follow me. You are going to be my disciple." Can you imagine how that affected Andrew on that day? The joy that must have been leaping out of his heart. You see, Jesus brings us to the deepest longings and desires of our heart, just like he did with Andrew. Andrew's story is our story. It is Jesus who calls us to purpose and to causes that are greater than ourselves. The question for most of us is, who would we be if Jesus had not called us to follow him? That's a tough question. Would I be the person I am today? Would I be living my life for a greater purpose than my own self-preservation? How would my life be different if that person in my life in the past hadn't invited me to church, or if my parents hadn't taken me to church, and that I didn't, at some point in that journey, begin to take it seriously. If we didn't have the people around us to encourage us. Not only does Jesus rescue us, but he brings reality to our deepest longings and desires. And that is what I call great news. The kind of news that you can't keep to yourself. It's the kind of news that you have to share with others. And then finally, it helps us to have a deep awareness of the needs of others and a willingness to do something about it. With Andrew, immediately after his first encounter with Jesus, he goes and gets his brother Simon. He didn't want to just experience it himself. He knew that there was someone in his life, someone he was close to, that needed to experience it as well. So the first thing he does is he finds someone who needs to experience Jesus. That's the first thing we should be doing. At the feeding of the 5,000, only Andrew acted to meet the hunger pains of the crowd gathered. But in both of these instances, we see Andrew had a deep awareness of the people and their needs. How many of us take a good look around us? How many of us truly look into the eyes of the people? It is often our compassion that helps create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus. How aware are we of people's needs for Jesus? I mean, what if we truly believe that what people needed was an encounter with Jesus? If we left here today with that feeling, what would you be willing to do? How far would you be willing to go? The interesting thing is, we don't get to pick and choose who we minister to. We don't get to pick and choose who we invite to church. There's probably somebody in your life right now that you're thinking, I haven't talked to that person in a while. Maybe I need to talk to them. It's not going to be something that's going to be a quick thing. It may take conversation after conversation after conversation. But maybe you need to ask the question, how would this change the way you see that person who gets on your nerves? Or maybe that family member that everyone else has given up on. Who do you know who needs to be here? If you can't answer that question, then maybe it is where you need to start. Bringing people to Jesus is going to require us to allow compassion and not convenience to determine how we live and interact with others. Andrew didn't wait for someone to do it for him. He didn't expect the people, the crowd, to figure it out for themselves. Andrew just stepped up and brought people to Jesus. It's interesting that he was bringing his brother to Jesus before he wasn't even part of the group yet. He was just invited and he was quick to go out and do it. I mean, how many of us who have been Christians for a long time, who've had a relationship for Jesus for a long time, when was the last time we invited someone to church? Or when would we just invite them to sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk about their life and allow them and just listen? Going back to how I began the message, imagine that person who invited you or brought you to Jesus. Imagine if they hadn't done that. Imagine if they were quiet, or they disregarded you, or they told you to just do whatever you wanted to do. How would your life be different? Fact of the matter is, we are Christ's ambassadors. And God has given us a ministry. It's a ministry of reconciliation. And how are we going to hear the good news, or how are people going to hear the good news if we don't share it with them, if we remain quiet? God has done some truly incredible things in and through this place and through your lives. And if you don't believe that, then you need to just take an honest look at your life and yourself. Take a moment. I guarantee you, you will have a smile on your face and you'll begin to realize there's some good things in my life. Somehow, I think we kind of fill it up with all the negative and we disregard the positives. But the great thing is, God is not done. God is still at work. And as I thought about that, I thought about how I might feel about this. And even being a part of a church congregation, I have to tell you, I did not sign up to be a part of this church or any church to simply celebrate the past. I want to be a part of the future and what God wants to do in and through us. Amen. The future is bright. Not because of anything we do or have done or will do. The future is bright because we are God's ambassadors. We are the ones that He chose. There's a lot of people out there that need to know Jesus. And it starts with each one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we take in this idea that we are Christ's ambassador, I pray that each one of us can begin to understand that that is our core purpose for being. It's who we are. You didn't create us so that we can take care of ourselves and, you know, just accumulate great things and do great things on our own, but you created us for a purpose and a reason. And it all started in that early church. And even before that, it started with Andrew. It started with people who were not afraid to stand up and see what was needed and to look for the positives and not the negatives. And to put their faith and trust in Christ because of their awe and wonder of what He has done. I pray this for each one here today, that we recognize that we are Your children. You picked us when no one else would. Thank You for that. We pray in Your name. And in the name of Your Son, Jesus, amen.